Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Here with Councilmember Scott Huber here on the Child to January.
Yeah.
So you helped organize this demonstration out here at Woodland Ave. What are you hoping to accomplish, Councilmember Huber?
Just greater public awareness of the inhumane action being taken by the majority of the City Council.
Mm-hmm. Now, you use the word inhumane. Could you kind of elaborate on that?
Sure. Anytime you throw people out of a place that you've directed them to be in the first place, mm-hmm. and give them no alternative of where to go, that fits the classic description of inhumane to me. I mean, my wife coined it perfectly. She said, you know, dogs and cats in this town receive shelter when they're homeless.
Now, did you intentionally leave out the lawful aspect of this, or would you like to comment on Martin versus Boise, which seems pretty clear to me that any jurisdiction can't be citing people for lying, sitting, and sleeping in space if they don't have enough shelter beds. And we clearly don't have enough shelter beds. Any comment on that?
Well, you know, I've seen opinions on both sides of whether that's valid or not. I tend to go along with the idea that it is valid. But to me, it's more of an ethical issue than a legal issue.
Any closing comments?
Yeah, I don't think any of the demonstrators out here think that camping in the park is a great idea. Mm-hmm. I think we all believe that public parks should be for recreating. But moving people out without giving them a place to go is unethical, regardless of where that space is that they're currently existing.
So someone that's been covering this beat a long time, I kind of look at Chico as a city or a municipality and how many park acres they have per resident. It might be the most in the country. So when I hear either city, regardless of political affiliation, Scott, on the city council that says, well, they can't be in the parks, to me, it sends a message going, well, we really don't have any place for those folks to be. I mean, any elaboration on that or correction?
Yeah, it's a shell game. Yeah. You move them out of one place, and then they go to another, and then pretty soon you move them out of that place. And it's completely unbelievable that we could be pushing people into the ether. Mm-hmm. Where do they go? Into our yards, onto our streets, into our alleys, into our businesses, etc., etc., and then they go get in trouble there. So it's just a shell game. We're just pushing them around.
So the city will be less clean and more unsafe, housed and unhoused, with what we're doing today, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, just throw a bunch of marbles on the floor and see if it makes it easier to walk.
Guillermo Mash here at the KZFR studios reporting on the encampment evictions that took place in Lower Bidwell Park on the morning of January 12th. Today's Without a Roof special coverage is a rebroadcast from the Friday, January 15th edition of the Peace and Social Justice Show, featuring on-location interviews with demonstrators, observers, and houseless community members impacted by the City of Chico's eviction activities in full defiance of CDC pandemic guidelines, while flipping a bird to the Martin versus Boise Ninth Circuit Federal Court decision that decided the following. We hold only that so long as there is a greater number of homeless individuals in a jurisdiction than the number of available beds in shelters, the jurisdiction cannot prosecute homeless individuals for involuntarily sitting, lying, and sleeping in public. Now let's get back to our on-location reporting with Andy Holcomb, past mayor of Chico and practicing attorney here on People Power Radio.
So I'm here at the entrance to Lower Bidwell Park off of Woodland Ave. And I'm here with past city council member and local attorney Andy Holcomb. And Andy's going to give a little bit of insights, you know, from what he knows about Martin versus Boise here for our KZFR listeners. Welcome to KZFR, Andy Holcomb.
Hi, and welcome. Thanks, Bill, and thanks for all your work on behalf of our community and the housing challenged people. Well, Boise versus Martin is a Ninth Circuit, meaning a federal case, which covers California and Idaho, maybe Nevada. Anyway, the case, it has to do with, is it constitutional or is it cruel and unusual punishment to criminalize homelessness in terms of arresting people who are camping in public? And the basic ruling of that case is that it is cruel and unusual punishment for a municipality, a city, Boise in that case, to arrest people for camping in public if there was no reasonable alternative. And reasonable alternative in that case, and this is a paraphrasing for sure, but basically means there has to be an alternate place to shelter for all people who are homeless, not just one or two. So if there's 20 beds as a reasonable alternative and you have 40 people camping out, that would be unconstitutional or cruel and unusual punishment to criminalize and arrest people for camping. So there has to be a reasonable alternative, some other place where people could be camping. If you're camping on public property, this is a camping on public property case.
But the Supreme Court didn't take this case up in, I think it was mid-December 2019, and then the pandemic hit. So Chico's not the only municipality that hasn't really taken a look at what's on their city ordinances and how they can comply with Martin versus Boise. Any comment on that?
Well, how they comply is by not violating the law. From my point of view, the law is pretty clear, and the city has been put on notice by legal aid authorities, for lack of a better word, that enforcing the current no camping ordinance as written would be a violation of Boise versus Martin because there's no reasonable alternative. I think the city has chosen to proceed anyway, which means they're not, they are cognizant of the human element. They care more for political and narrow viewpoints on how the world should be.
So I'm out here with a group of young folks, and I really appreciate seeing the intergenerational support for letting people rest where they need to be. But I'm here with Sonia, who's out here demonstrating. What do you have to say for our KZFR listeners, Sonia?
I'd just like to say it's awesome to see so many people out here and supporting the vulnerable members of our population who are really in need of our support the most. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that we're able to find a designated place for people to live, because while they're camping out here right now, like, they are valuable members of our community and we should be supporting them as best we can.
I was walking over to get here, and it was like an hour ago, and I'm like, man, I'm really glad I have a place to be, and I'm grateful I have a roof. What about you?
Absolutely, yeah. Every day, it's just, you know, I'm so grateful for that every day, and I just could only hope the same for other people who we're sharing our beautiful town with.
Yeah. Thank you, Sonia. What about you, sir?
Happy to be out here. As Sonia said, it's great to be supporting members of our community who don't necessarily have the access to the same privileges the rest of us do. And I think now with COVID and everything going on, it is not the time to be making people's lives any more difficult. And if you've got a place that you're comfortable living in, staying in place, not going out and having massive interactions, that's the place you should be staying. And so I think it's a little ridiculous that we can have this shelter in place order and our actual city government is insisting that people get up and leave their homes and just go out into the community with no alternative. There is no alternative for these folks.
To me, they keep talking about clean and safe, but they never seem to look at the population that's out here living on the streets, because in most of the interviews, all the interviews I've done with the encampments here, people have talked about how much safer they feel with a quote-unquote somewhat sanctioned campground, knowing that they have campmates around them that can kind of intervene, especially women. Yep. That get brutalized out here. Any comments on that?
It's absolutely all about where you feel safest, and wherever you feel safest is where you should be. Mm-hmm. I think when our government and our officials are talking about a safe Chico, it's really important to think about who that safety is for, because mm-hmm. it's certainly not for the folks who are at most risk out here in our community.
Being a woman on the street is no fun, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do. But it is scary, but, you know, we got people that to help us and watch us.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel a lot safer in kind of a somewhat sanctioned camp here with friends all around you versus being pushed by yourself or maybe one other person, you know, in a remote area?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
It happens every day in life.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So I've been telling people what the city's doing here, the Chico PD, with the guidance of city council, is making the city less clean and less safe for anyone, everyone, housed and unhoused. You got any comment on that?
Well, they really need to protect us and the city, you know, and be respectful to everybody, that because people are houseless, not homeless. We're all houseless. But where are we gonna go when they are telling us to move? A lot of people has no choice of being out here, or we have a choice of being out here, but it all depends. But it's not right for them to tell us that we have to leave, because where we're gonna go? All the homeless people have nowhere to go.
So what's your situation? Do you have a place to go, and what's your plans with this action that the Chico PD is initiating this morning?
We're trying to look for housing and all that stuff, but we were going to the tours, but they were closed. But I have friends and family around here that protects us. You know, we all help each other as much as we can. It's just like we have to stick together.
That's beautiful words. I really appreciate it. Can I just get a first name only, or if you're okay with that?
Talia Metcalf.
Thank you, Talia. So, Lucianne, someone I had you on the radio last week. So you were willing to do just like a quick little follow-up on how things are going for you today.
It's not going well at all.
It's not going well at all. Are you guys going to move, Lucianne?
Oh, they're coming to bulldoze everything. I don't want to move too. I'm going to City Depot or something. I don't know. As long as I'm in a public place.
You can be in public.
And I'm not camping. There's like 500 miles back there. It takes people.
Down by 1 mile?
Yeah, by the horseshoe pit in the baseball field. 12 tables. Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
Juan, I know you from Mutual Aid. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing you guys are doing out here. But you were kind of a direct observer on what happened over there by the horseshoe pit and the 12 tables?
So I was a little bit late to the action. They started before, but what I got to observe was a lot of city workers and yellow vests, a big leaf picker, not a bulldozer, but one of those big leaf pickers, and they're just piling up things and picking them up, putting them into dump trucks. But like I said, it does seem like they're not moving people that are there right now, and that are claiming things. They are giving them time to move their things. Obviously, if they're not moved, you know, soon they will be cited or arrested or whatever.
I think there's a lot of dynamics going on, Juan, because the cops are on the record several times saying they'd rather people do it voluntarily, because if they do it voluntarily, they're kind of skirting Martin versus Boise in any potential lawsuit. Any comment on that?
Yeah, it also seems like they are citing people for anything but camping, like littering, having a dog off leash, and it seems like they're trying to skirt the issue of citing people for camping because they know that that's been proven unconstitutional.
Bill Mash, is this press?
Press.
So press has to go through the chief. Now, if you're out here and I'm answering questions,
okay.
But as far as the voice of the police department, it's got to go through the chief.
Sue Hildebrand, it's always nice to see you out and about. Can you give a little insight as well on what you got from your takeaway from the conversation with Sandoval about what they did here today at 1 mile horseshoe pit and further down?
Sergeant Sandoval was talking to a group of people answering their questions, and I asked him, for one, if police department was in coordination with the city manager's office, and he said yes, they are working very closely together. When I asked where people were going, he said that he didn't know and that the city was not in the business of telling people where to go. They just couldn't camp in the park. So I asked, where could they camp? And he essentially, as far as I could tell, the city is saying that people can sleep on the sidewalk with bedding and a pillow, but they are not allowed to have a tent and they can't have any personal effects. But in the morning, they have to get up because then they would be violating the sit-lie law. So it seems that the city will only allow people to sleep on sidewalks, but they can't actually stabilize anywhere. And of course, there's no sanctioned campground, and there are no shelter beds available at this time.
That last audio clip was Sue Hildebrand reporting for the Butte Report, airing Thursdays at 5 p.m. on your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM.
I'm out here with the Shelter First Lady. I'm calling you the Shelter First Lady, and that's endearing. But what's your first name, ma'am?
Meg.
Meg, you know, I'm out here, I'm seeing pastors and clergy and press and just maybe, quick count, at least 36 people. You know, how much does it warm your heart? What do you feel about the support you've got from press, pastors, and local community?
I think it's terrific. I think there are people from all ages and walks of life who believe that sheltering people first is the way to go. So I'm really encouraged.
Guillermo Mash here at the KZFR Downtown Studios reporting for the second half of today's Without a Roof segment on the houseless encampment eviction from Lower Bidwell Park the morning of Tuesday, January 12th. This report features interviews with some of the 36 or so demonstrators and observers on site at the eviction action. Poignant interviews with the houseless community members affected by the city of Chico's eviction actions, and interactions between community members and the Chico Police Department. First up, Pastor Jesse interviews Charles with Hume, followed by Bob Trausch, fellow board members at Chico Housing Action Team, here on Peep Bow Radio.
So, a great opportunity to remind the neighborhood that actually shelters make neighborhoods safer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of research about this. The city has vacant land. We have nonprofits with plans. I'm currently working with a community shelter team to put together a plan for microhomes. There isn't any reason why we couldn't have a shelter for all our citizens. If this was by any other disaster, if this was an earthquake or a flood, we'd have had FEMA trailers and tents at the fairgrounds the next day. But because it's poverty, we're dragging our feet, and it's really crying shame.
I've heard some ideas about having a place where people can camp in one place and have some supervision and services provided there.
Right. Ed McLaughlin has offered 40 acres just this side of the airport. Steve Lottie has offered, it would require contracts and insurance, but there's 2.5 acres a little bit closer. There's the old CHP parking lot. There's the vacant parking lot of the Butte County Library. We have vacant land. We have nonprofits with plans.
So I'm here with Bob Trausch. What am I bearing witness to here, Bob?
For me, there should have been a lawsuit to stop this. There should have been a class action lawsuit to stop this, because they're not offering any place for people to go. If they had something, a place to go, motel, I don't care what it is, a campground, then I can understand this. This isn't a park, there's a mess here. But we're not giving people an alternative. And when you don't give people an alternative, you force them to break the law. And that's what's happening here. People are being forced to break the law. Not only that, these are people who don't have much money. Many of them don't have employment because of the COVID-19, the pandemic. We've had 2 fires. They're on the streets. We're taking their stuff, their livelihood. Their livelihood is a tent, sleeping bag, a few clothes, a few incidentals. We're taking that and putting it into trucks and hauling it away. How is that humane? At this point, we are not a humane community. We don't care enough about the people on the street to help them be safe and secure. What we do is we punish them. And I don't understand it. It's beyond me to understand how a society doesn't care about the least of us. It's an indication of what kind of a society we're living in at this point. And we've seen that dramatic change. We've seen it even recently with some of the things that happened at the White House. We see a change happen in our community, in our country, that is really frightening for me. This is, an example of how we are treating people in our community.
Is there any comment on, you know, how you feel? Are you still encamped here?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm an Indian. You gave me a reservation, and so now you're asking me to move off land that I lived on for thousands of years.
Occupied Mechoopta territory.
No, I'm Pitt River. I'm from Burney in Klamath Falls.
But this is occupied Mechoopta. The Mechoopta was a tribe.
My uncle was Uncle River.
So what's your situation? Have you moved your camp? Moving your camp? What's up?
I'm probably moving my camp just so I don't have to deal with cops, because they've asked nicely. So what's wrong with being asked nicely to move by the public?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
You don't want someone camping in your front yard, do you?
Mm-hmm. Now, quick question though. I obviously don't want to know exactly where, but it seems like you're going to try to get somewhere out of sight, out of mind, maybe close to the creek, down in a, you know, someplace you can't be seen from the road.
No, I was thinking right on the middle of the road.
In the middle of the road?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, you barely even see me when I'm here. Would you really miss me if you ran me over?
Yeah. I would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would. But I mean, out of like 1,000 people that die, you know, just around the world, you know, from crazy things, you know, what's one person?
Would you be willing to give your first name?
Yeah, Theron.
Theron, it's nice to meet you. Good luck out here.
All right, thank you.
Bryce, nice to see you.
Yeah.
Gosh, Bryce, I can remember when I first met you like 6 years ago during a demonstration on City Hall, and you just lost your housing and you were back on the street.
Yeah.
I remember that vividly. And you're out here still. Anyway, it's a real blessing to see you, Bryce. Welcome to KZFR.
How's it going today? I just wish they'd given us any other choice. This is where they'd actually told us to come to from a previous location where we were staying, and it's just, I've been at a loss right now. They tell us to come here, the Chico police and the Chico Park Rangers, and now we're stuck with the problem of, okay, they tell us to come here, but now the new city council has made it so that we can't stay here at all. They've increased the penalties or whatnot. So what are we left with? Nowhere to go except for out of city limits or next to a sidewalk, as they've been telling people.
What do you think you're going to do, Bryce?
I found a spot across town, but with being in and out of the hospital, it's taken everything I have to just be able to move all the stuff. I got back last night and I just collapsed.
Would you be willing to share what some of your medical issues are or how dire it is?
Oh, my heart function went down to 20% with fluid overload, and I've been in and out of the hospital 6 times recently, and just trying to get up the strength to actually haul my stuff across town to the one place I could possibly come up with to actually go is taking everything I have.
Have you thought about the possibility, and a lot of people have been looking at this, that what the city's doing illegal and they have no legal right to have you move? Have you been thinking about just staying where you're at?
I have, but I heard that they were down the way earlier talking about how a lot of people are going to go to jail this morning, and that's the last place I want to be, especially with COVID getting so rampant right now. I think there are 19 cases in there right at the second.
Yeah, and bless you, Bryce, because I remember us talking to you a little bit about Project Room Key, and as soon as you had heard that it was prioritizing COVID, you were like, hey, I need to stay well and safe. Maybe you could give a little insight on trying to stay well and safe with COVID-19 being houseless.
It's a daily challenge because you never know who out here actually has it. There actually have been a few people around this area who've caught it, and with the new variant, it's even more frightening. Being out here anymore.
It seems, Bryce, that you've actually contacted legal services in Northern California about your case and they've kind of logged it?
Yes, I talked to the head legal aide there. He sounds like we have a case against the city, and hopefully this will move forward. They're supposed to file an injunction today, but it doesn't look like it's been processed through yet.
Okay. Well, best of luck out here, Bryce.
We're going to need it.
Right up and stuck his camera right inside my tent. I said, why don't you ask me before you do that? Mm-hmm. He goes, do you want me to put that on TV? I said, why don't you ask me before you do that?
Yeah. But anyway, nice to see you. I'm sorry I don't remember your name, but I interfaced with you a lot back in the beginning of the pandemic, and I've had you on the radio several times. What's your name, sir, and tell us what happened here over here by the horseshoe pit.
My name's Richie Graves, and they came today. They gave us, 5 days ago, they gave us 72 hours to move. And still didn't have any kind of a place for us to go. So everybody packed up their stuff and was pretty much leaving last night. And I stayed here today and waited for the onslaught. I was no army really. They came. They were decent about it though. You know, I mean, they're doing their job. I understand that. They didn't take any stuff that they weren't told they could take, you know, but it's just, we still don't have any answers. We still don't know where we're gonna go, what we're gonna do, you know? And when the fire started, they opened up the fairgrounds for the fire people, you know? And now there's a worldwide pandemic and we can't get any help.
What's your plans?
I'm not really sure, Bill, what I'm gonna do yet. I got a couple friends that are in that safe space program. They said I could, you know, sleep on the floor or something in there for a minute. I got some friends that have houses and stuff, and I might just stay out, not in the park, obviously, but, you know, but stay out here and still be a voice for my people out here.
I'm out here with a young man. What's your name, sir?
Cameron.
Cameron, welcome to KZFR. I just gave you that flyer I'm passing out with some legal assistance here locally. And what's your situation and what do you plan on doing today?
Well, I plan on staying here, and I don't care what the cops say because I'll be off the street soon. So, like, this is like my only place that I know, you know, with family that I actually know. Mm-hmm. And she's like her. She's basically going to be staying here too. And it's like, you know, so yeah.
You know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, how people feel much safer in a managed camp versus being pushed into a bush or someplace that's out of sight, out of mind, particularly as a woman. Do you have any comment on that?
It's kind of what I would say. It's what the Chico PD, you know, and, you know, kicking all the women out that are, you know, that pregnant, you know, disabilities, it's wrong for what they're doing.
Listen, we know where our homeless community is at. You don't need to call me. We're already trying to do outreach with them. I don't need complaints because I know where our homeless community is at. So, but I can't tell somebody how to react.
Right. I know you can't tell somebody, but I do worry that is the next step. You know, I see that same woman online telling people, like, anytime that you see them near your home, you call it in. You call it in. Yeah. You keep calling it in until PD does something about it.
So I think this is a wonderful thing today. I'm a police officer. You guys are pretty serious, passionate homeless advocates, and we're having a conversation. Why can't this be all the time? All the time. It's got to be all the time, or we're not going to get anywhere. Okay? That's all I have to say. It's got to be all the time.
The communication
aspect.
Thank you, thank
is,
you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yes. Yes. It's got to be all the time. Yes. Because if it's not, I mean, I've been in this unit for 4 years, and I have not seen it progress at all in the right direction in 4 years.
Well, a big issue, though, we have is we no longer do the monthly meetings, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big issue on both ends.
Well, that's why I always communicate with you.
Well, yeah, but that's
a really good conversation.
Matter of fact, we went to a homeless task force meeting, and this gentleman right here, Benson, at the end of the meeting, comes up to me and says, well, how are you going to solve the homeless issue? After we just had a meeting with, 30 representatives of every, you know, organization in Butte County.
I haven't seen you guys at the meetings lately, by the way.
Yeah, well, I've been.
I would really love to have some input.
Okay, I'm going to follow you guys over there.
Last audio clip was a community conversation between Sergeant Sandoval with the Chico Police Department and houseless advocates Angela McLaughlin and Benson, as recorded by Pastor Jesse on location in the Horseshoe Pit area of Bidwell Park the morning of Tuesday, January 12th. I do know that Sandoval reached out to Angela afterwards to, in my words, clear the air from what was a stressful and chaotic scene on site at the evictions, and that Angela was pleased that he did so. Sandoval reached out to me directly on location Tuesday and Wednesday for better communications between advocates and community members. I offered my view that providing far better access to reporters doing a service to our community at both the city and PD level is an absolute must if we want to move forward. I was also able to speak with a member of the press who was mentioned by a houseless community member as having been taking video without consent. They deny this, stating they were initially given permission that was retracted after the fact. That's the two sides, with the third being my direct observation of the high stress level, confusion, and managed chaos, making it a difficult coverage location. As verified on location in the 4 p.m. hour on Wednesday the 13th, the Horseshoe Pit was clear of campers, and the Chico PD target team, including Sergeant Sandoval, was on location at the entrance to Lower Bidwell Park, assisting the remaining 16 houseless campers to get into hotels that were funded by True North Housing Alliance. I also had a good conversation off the record with Sergeant Sandoval Wednesday afternoon at the encampment site near the entrance to Bidwell Park, and I appreciated this comment that he was more than happy to put on the record, and that is just pretty straightforward. I feel like we're not putting them, the houseless, first. And I appreciate Sergeant Sandoval's care and passion for that.
And I wish we had more time. I really do. There's a lot of dynamics around this, but we simply don't. Until the next time, if you have a roof, be grateful.